If you're new to America Weekend, I want to welcome you to the program. I'm Valerie Smaldone. The show is Valerie Smaldone and Friends. And I have this rotating group of experts that weigh in on various topics. Al Kadabianu is one of my experts. He is my culture expert. Al is founder of Culture Sonar, a great website about entertainment, arts, literature. In fact, its tagline is cool stuff to read, hear, see, and do. And when you listen to Al Kadabiani's segment, you'll understand why. Here's Al.
In an era of Spotify playlists and Pandora streaming, albums really don't get much love anymore. But artists still labor over them with tender, loving care. And sometimes there's nothing like getting happily lost in a multi-song collection that takes you on a bona fide sonic journey. For full-on immersion, there's also really nothing like a concept album, where the tracks all share some kind of common theme. Culture Sonar's own Scott Fryman has created a list of 31 concept albums you may have missed. Since Valerie will probably want her show back, we can't cover them all here. But let's do profile just a few from over the past few decades. The Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is often called the first concept album of the rock era, but it really wasn't until a year later, 1968's SF Sorrow from The Pretty Things, that a clear storyline threaded consistently through an entire album. The songs are based on a short story by The Pretty Things singer Phil May. It traces the life of Sebastian F. Sorrow from birth through love, war, tragedy, madness, and old age. SF Sorrow is really the first time a rock album told a story like an opera or a Broadway soundtrack, a year before The Who's Tommy. It'd be hard to find a bigger band in the 70s than the Eagles. But before they were really famous, they made a bold move, making their second LP, Desperado, a concept album. Desperado takes the country rock blend that the Eagles had already perfected on their self-titled debut and applies it to a selection of songs about the Old West. Many of the songs are filled with sadness about lost romance and bygone times, like Saturday Night and Tequila Sunrise. And of course, this being a Western, there are outlaws, as in Outlaw Man and the title track. Segueing into the 80s, let's look back on a matchup between a genius producer, Todd Rundgren, and a hyperverbal, brainy band leader, Andy Partridge of XTC. Partridge describes the 1986 album they made together, Skylarking, as a cycle of something, a day, a year, with the seasons, or a life. It's a cycle of starting, aging, dying, and starting again. Each of the album's 14 tracks is a perfect pop song, expertly performed and arranged by Rundgren and XTC. By all accounts, the recording sessions were contentious, but the creative tension led to an album that's easily one of the decade's best. Our pick from the 90s, The Downward Spiral, is definitely the most depressing record on the list. The industrial rock of Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails is used to trace the story of one man's downward spiral via self-abuse, disease, sex, drugs, and even suicide. The Downward Spiral is obviously not easy listening, but its fusion of heavy metal, hard rock, techno, and electronica would influence many other musicians for years to come. The turn of the millennium delivered some of hip-hop's most inventive tracks, especially as embodied on 2003's speaker box, The Love Below, from Outkast. The duo of Big Boi and Andre 3000 decided to combine two solo efforts into a single concept album under the Outkast name. The result paired Big Boi's speaker box with Andre 3000's The Love Below. Big Boi's speaker box is built on Southern hip-hop crossed with old-school rave and is the more political of the two. The Love Below is poppier and features Andre 3000 getting his groove on, most famously on the top five single, Hey Ya. Speaker box, The Love Below, justifiably received numerous awards and accolades, including being named the number one album of the 90s by Newsweek. Which brings us at last to our current decade. We still have a few years left, and there were already some great choices, but for now we're going to go with the Queen Bey, Beyoncé's Lemonade. It combines hip-hop and rock, country and gospel. Several guest artists contribute to the record, including Jack White, Kendrick Lamar, and James Blake. Beyoncé stands in for all women as she journeys through stages of betrayal, loss, sex, romance, revenge, and reconciliation. When all is said and done, it makes a powerful impact. You can see the whole 31-album list and tell us what we missed by visiting culturesonar.com or our Facebook page, musically called Culture Sonar.
Al Karabiani, one of my contributing experts on America Weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Valerie Smaldone.
America Weekend.
Think Green.
Harrison with you. The next time you eat a steak or suck the meat off a chicken bone, consider this job posting from the USDA trolling for a food inspector. Quote, food inspectors are involved in post-mortem inspections of animals or poultry. The inspector must stand on slippery and uneven floors while performing the inspection of animal carcasses and body parts, which are pulled by a mechanized chain through the plant. Water of 180 degrees Fahrenheit and high-voltage electrical stimulators are in the inspector's proximity. Viscera inspection activities require the USDA inspector to palpate and slice organs while standing at a moving table. In addition, the inspection work requires the ability to detect product abnormalities through smell. Who says old-fashioned USDA work isn't fun? This is Harrison.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
After three seasons as a second baseman for the Toronto Blue Jays, this multi-sport athlete was selected in the 1981 NBA draft by the Boston Celtics. He went on to become an NBA All-Star and a two-time champion.
Danny Ainge hits the three. If anybody can hit an outside shot like that, it's Danny.
So where is Danny Ainge now? Danny returned to the Celtics as their executive director of basketball operations in 2003. 4 years later, he acquired Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. Along with Paul Pierce, the Big Three helped the Celtics to beat the Lakers in the 2008 NBA Finals. And Danny was named NBA Executive of the Year.
And after a 22-year absence, the Boston Celtics are NBA champions once again.
Danny Ainge, still making the moves. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.